Now, we're going to look, first of all, in the book of Genesis and chapter 49. First book in the Bible, the 49th chapter of Genesis. Just three verses. A wonderful chapter, this. Enough in this chapter for about 10 or 12 addresses, but we'll have to limit ourselves to one tonight. Verse 22 of Genesis 49. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. These are the words of Jacob, his father, speaking concerning each of his sons in a prophetic manner. And these are the words, or some of them, that he says to his son Joseph. Verse 23, the archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now over into the New Testament, and John's Gospel, and chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 10, and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold or one flock, and one shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, I think we'll have no difficulty, dear brothers and sisters, in deciding tonight what is the subject that for a few moments is going to engage our attention tonight. And that subject, of course, is Christ as shepherd. We have thought in our two previous meetings just a little bit First of all, on Monday evening of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ the Savior. Last night we have thought of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, Christ, our Redeemer. And tonight, I want us to think from these verses that we have read together of our Lord Jesus Christ in this wonderful way in which he is brought before us in the Word of God on many an occasion as the great Shepherd of the sheep. Now, many a time it is that we hear our Lord Jesus Christ spoken of in the character of the Shepherd to which he himself likens himself in the verses that we have read from John's Gospel and chapter 10. And we often hear our Lord Jesus Christ spoken of as the Good Shepherd in John's Gospel and chapter 10, as the Great Shepherd, as he is spoken of in Hebrews and chapter 13, and as the Chief Shepherd, as he is spoken of in Peter's first epistle and chapter 5. Three wonderful ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us as the Shepherd of the sheep, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. Tonight, if the Lord will, I want us to concentrate mainly, if not exclusively, upon the aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, mainly because of the constraints of time, but also just to crystallize our minds around this wonderful way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us in John's Gospel and chapter 10 as the Good Shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. But although the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us in those three wonderful ways, at least in the New Testament, there is a fourth way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us in the Word of God as Shepherd. And it is this: he is not only the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd, he is the Shepherd. And that in itself is important, without any other qualifying adjective to tell us what kind of shepherd he is. And that is why I turned us first of all to those three verses in the book of Genesis and chapter 49, where we have Jacob, just before he dies, gives the prophetic outline of the history of what was going to happen to the 12 tribes of Jacob. And here and there in that prophetic outline, direct reference is made to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verses that we read in Genesis 49, relating to the blessing that was shortly and that would come to Joseph and the tribes that would belong to him, we get, so far as I know, and the brethren can put their minds into steep here tonight, we get, so far as I know, what is the first direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Shepherd. You would notice at the end of the three little verses that we read together, in brackets in the Authorized Version, it says, from thence is the Shepherd, the Stone of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ, predicted by Jacob to become the Shepherd and the Stone of Israel. Now, if one assumes the character of a shepherd, one assumes total responsibility for the flock and for the sheep under whose care they are now to be administered. And the wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Shepherd of the sheep is that by the giving of his life and the shedding of his precious blood upon the cross, he again has acquired the right and the title to become the Shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this wonderful character of Shepherd, is brought before us in type or in picture time and time again in the Old Testament. The first sacrifice that was offered in the book of Genesis in chapter 4 was by Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And true to type, Abel, that first shepherd, lost his life, as did eventually our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so we can go through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, many more are the great shepherds that are brought before us in picture and type form in the Old Testament. Prophetically, the Lord Jesus Christ is pointed out to us in the Old Testament to be and to become the shepherd of his sheep. We have read, as I say, the first direct prophetical statement that there would be one coming into this world by and by who would be the shepherd. Then when we come to the New Testament, what was in picture and what was in prophecy in the Old, we come to in person, in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he is the one of whom, in verse 2 we read, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And so tonight, let us just think for a few moments of the Lord Jesus Christ in this lovely, wonderful way as the shepherd of the sheep. It has been said that Psalm 23 is what the sheep think of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is what David could say, himself being a shepherd and a keeper of sheep. But that in John's Gospel in chapter 10, it is what the shepherd thinks of the sheep. And so it is more that aspect of things that I want to dwell upon tonight, what our Lord Jesus Christ, as the shepherd, thinks of you and I, his flock and his sheep. Now, when one becomes a shepherd, one accepts the total responsibility for the welfare and the well-being of that flock, to look after it, to care for it in every way, to attend to all the varied needs and necessities of that flock, to find pasture and to provide pasture for that flock. And when there is a sick sheep, to seek again that that sheep might be made well, to have the shepherd's eye upon that sheep, to notice that that sheep isn't well, and in some way minister to it and bring it back to health and strength again. And when a sheep wanders and goes away and goes astray, it is the shepherd's responsibility to go after that which is lost until he find it and bring it back into the shelter and safety and security of the flock and of his presence. And it is just this kind of care, this tender, overall, every day, every moment, care of the wonderful Saviour that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he expresses towards you and me every day of our lives. Jacob, whose dying words we have read together in chapter 49 of Genesis, he was a great shepherd under the good hand of God. His flocks increased and increased until he had many thousands of sheep and cattle that belonged to him by the mercy and blessing of God. But there were years in Jacob's life when he had a very hard time in the house of Laban, his father-in-law. Don't know what that says about father-in-laws, but never mind. Jacob had a bit of a hard time on that occasion. And for many years he served Laban, and Laban dealt very hardly with Jacob, and Jacob was in charge of Laban's sheep. And the charge that Laban, his father-in-law, gave to him was this, that if he lost a sheep, or if a wolf came and took away a sheep, or if a sheep died of itself, Jacob had to pay for it. And at the end, just before Jacob leaves Laban, he says, if I have lost a sheep, I have paid for it myself. And so Jacob, it was his responsibility not to lose a sheep, otherwise it cost him something. Now then, that tells me this wonderful thing. I transfer my minds and thought from Jacob to the blessed person of the shepherd himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of those lovely words that he spoke in chapter 17 of this very gospel that we have read from. And he speaks to the Father about the sheep that had been given to him of the Father. And he says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and none of them is lost. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you know it is said at the Battle of Waterloo in 1805, and after Wellington, the Duke of Wellington and his army had defeated Napoleon and his army, his officers came in to report to Wellington of their success and of their victories in the field. And some of them that came in found the great Duke crying in the tent where he was. And his officers sought to encourage him and to say, but my lord, this is a wonderful victory. It is a great victory that we have gained this day. You know what Wellington said? But think of the men that I have lost. And he thought so much of his troops that it affected him in the day of his greatest victory. You and I belong to a Savior, to a Lord, to a Shepherd. That's never lost a man yet. That's never lost a sheep from his flock. For we have read at the end of this chapter, and we shall speak about it presently, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, ever perish. What a wonderful thing then. What a wonderful person. What a glorious person is our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three doors. I've got to limit what I say tonight from this wonderful chapter. There are three doors in the verses that we have read together. The first door is a door in. The way in which our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. There are various thoughts as to what the meaning of this first door is. I take the simplest of those thoughts tonight. He that entereth in by the door, which is the appointed way, as we've all come into this room tonight. Don't think we came through the window. We came through the door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus came in the right appointed way. It was predicated of him by Isaiah of the manner and means whereby he would be born of Mary the Virgin. A virgin shall conceive and be with child. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The manner and means by which the Saviour was to be born. The place where he was to be born is known to us all, I am sure. Micah's prophecy, thou Bethlehem, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come, who shall be ruler in Israel. So the Lord Jesus was to be born of a virgin. He was to be born in Bethlehem Ephrata, Bethlehem in Judah. And if we read Daniel's prophecy aright, not the time of his birth, but the time of his death, to the very week in which the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, is accurately prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 and 25 at the end of 69 weeks of years. So the Lord Jesus Christ indeed certainly came in by the door, by the appointed way, and he is the one marked out for us as the shepherd of the sheep. But then he says, in a verse a little lower down, I am the door of the sheep. What kind of a door was that in verse 7? Oh, I think that was a door to those that were under the old legal system of Judaism. And now it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ coming in, but now it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would be able to be a door for them out into pastures new. And this leads us, dear friends, onto the third expression of the door. Verse 9, I am the door. This time, the doorway in. Verse 7, the doorway out for the Jewish believers out of Judaism. Verse 9, the door into salvation. This is the way that each one of us have come in. How many thousands of souls will be in heaven that have been blessed by reading this wonderful verse? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Perfect liberty here through entering in through Christ, the open door. And so great, so wide is the salvation which he has won for us upon the cross, that it isn't now in this verse limited to Jews only. Oh, we who are here tonight can say, thank God for that. I doubt if there's a Jewish believer in our company tonight. But thank God, we who are Gentiles here in this little room this night, we can say, thank God. It doesn't say, I am the door. By me, if any Jew enter in. No. If any man or if anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, enter in this way, he shall be saved. And then we go in and we go out. And we find pasture. Where do we go into? And where do we go out to? Oh, I'll tell you where I think we go into. Once we trust Christ as Saviour, we go into the very presence of God when we kneel in prayer. And when we gather together on a Lord's Day morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, we go into the very presence of God in order to give him praise and worship and thanksgiving from these redeemed hearts of ours. And go out. Yes, it is our privilege to go out in holy liberty, both to go out in the preaching of the gospel and to spread abroad the name of this wonderful Saviour who has saved us from our sins. The Lord Jesus says, salvation is one of the reasons why he has come and the means by which we get it, entering in through himself as the door. But verse 11 is another one of the I ams of John's gospel. I am the good shepherd. I understand that some translations will give, I am the fair shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd. Well, that's wonderful. If we know Christ as Saviour, certainly to our hearts, he is the fairest among 10,000. And he is the most beautiful person that ever our souls become engaged with. The Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. This is what he gives. He gives his life for the sheep. This is what he gave. Verse 10 says that he was come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, or life to the full, eternal life as you and I know now. But how, if the Lord Jesus Christ was come to give us life, and he says, verse 10, that he is, how are we going to get that life? How is it going to become available to us? Oh, it can only become available to us in this wonderful way, that the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, he has to give his life for the sheep. This is what he gives for the sheep. Oh, my dear friends, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in all his greatness, in all his glory, yet as Son of God, willing to take your place and mine upon the cross. You say, what? Me? Poor, unworthy object that I am, sinful as I am in this world, would the Son of God die for me? Were the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, dear friends, what would he say? He would say, oh yes, because you're not unworthy to me. And in order to secure us, in order to have us for himself, in order that we might become one of his sheep, in order that we might become part of the flock of God, the Lord Jesus was willing to die for you and me upon the cross. And if this was the only way that we could be brought into blessing, rather than be without us, the blessed Saviour, the Son of God, would die for us upon the cross. How great is his love. How wonderful is his love. He speaks about other shepherds that had no thought and no care for the flock, but so great was his love. And in order that he might not be without us, he says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A true shepherd really loves his sheep, you know. About 15 years ago, in Northumberland,
There was a terrible outbreak of foot and mouth disease. And a shepherd I know had the whole of his flock of sheep, whose ancestors had been on those Cheviot Hills for centuries. He had the whole of his flock destroyed. And on the day they were destroyed, he had three sons. One of them went missing. And they found him round the back of the shed, crying. He was a grown man by this time. And he was crying because the sheep that he had known from a boy to a youth to a man were being slaughtered. And he loved those sheep. And it meant something to him. And he couldn't face it. And I'm not surprised. But here the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and loves me so much with such intensity. Wants us for himself. Think of that. He wanted you. And he wanted me. And he gave his life for us. On the cross. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, thank God, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That was the fold of Judaism. You and me that are here tonight, we are part of those other sheep. Them also I must bring. The absolute divine necessity of the heart of love of the Saviour would have you and me for himself as part of the vast flock of God. He says, other sheep I have, Gentile sheep, that don't belong to the fold of Israel, them also I must bring, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Not held in now and restricted in the fold of Judaism, and restricted with all the legal restrictions of Judaism, but held together now as the flock of God by the attractiveness of the person of the shepherd himself. We know that out in the east, the shepherd goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow the shepherd, and where he goes, they go. And I've seen something of this. And my dear friends, you and I are held together today, not by legal restrictions of any description. We've got the liberty of which verse 9 says to go in and out and find pasture, perfect Christian liberty, but we are held together through the attractiveness and attraction of the shepherd that is before us, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Let me just say a few words about you and I as his sheep and two of the characteristics that mark the sheep. More than once, we have read in these verses that the sheep follow the shepherd. Verse 4, the sheep follow him. Verse 5, a stranger will they not follow. Verse 27 that we read together, they follow me. And that is, we know, here in this country, very largely the shepherds go behind the sheep. Out east, the shepherd goes before the sheep, and the sheep do follow the shepherd, and the shepherd seeks out the pasture. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, when my wife and I were on holiday 1 year in Tenerife, there used to be some plantations not far away from the hotel where we were staying. And every day, a shepherd used to bring along his flock of sheep. In fact, there were mixed sheep, sheep and goats, take them into the plantation, and they used to feed there. They were there for perhaps an hour or a couple of hours, and then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he used to turn them round, and along they came, a great flock of sheep, past the hotel where we used to live. And there was this day, the sheep were trotting along, and the shepherd was behind, and they were going further and further and further away, and there was one sheep in the lead. And this is what happened.
The ship, Edwin.
And the lead sheep stopped. And it turned. And it looked round. And it stood looking like that until the shepherd walked and caught up with it. And he went, and away it went again. That was a lesson to me. That sheep was subject to the shepherd. It looked round and it had its eye upon the shepherd. And the whole flock stopped behind that sheep and didn't move till the signal was given again. And away they went. And that was wonderful. That's like you and I. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we must keep our eye upon him. We look off unto Jesus, the author and completer of faith. And we keep our eye on him. And as we go along, we are subject to his leading and to his guiding. The second thing is, it says here, the sheep know the voice of the good shepherd. It's a wonderful thing. We recognize the voice of the shepherd, don't you, above all other voices. We recognize the voice of the good shepherd. Let me tell you another little story again in Northumberland. This time it happened on the farm of our dear brother Arthur Redpath. Many years ago, our brother Norman Anderson, who's now with the Lord, went to stay with our brother Arthur Redpath at Wooler. And each day they used to go out and feed the sheep. And when Arthur used to pull up, he would give his own call or his own whistle, whatever it was, and the sheep would come from the farther side of the field to be fed. And after they'd done this two or three days, our brother Norman said to Arthur one day when they pulled up at the field, he said, Arthur, be quiet a minute. And so our brother Norman, he called out, he'd listened to Arthur on a few occasions calling to the sheep, and our brother Norman called out as near as he could, imitating the voice and the call of brother Arthur Redpath. And what happened? The sheep were grazing in the field. And they lifted up their heads. And they looked. And then they put them down again. And they went on grazing. And Norman said, Arthur, you shout. And Arthur called. And what happened? The sheep lifted up their heads and came across to the gate. They knew the voice of the shepherd. And a voice of a stranger they don't know. And so it is with you and me, dear friends. We know instinctively by the power of God's Holy Spirit that dwells within us the voice of the Good Shepherd. Praise God for that, because what does it do? It means that because we know the voice of the Good Shepherd, if there's somebody that comes along that is a false shepherd, we instantly recognize that it is not the Good Shepherd. And so we can avoid whatever it is that has been brought before us and presented to us. Lastly, in our meeting tonight, what a wonderful all the way home Saviour and Shepherd Jesus is. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Listen to this. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. If the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11 gives his life for the sheep. Here in verse 28, he gives life to the sheep, you and me. And he says, the kind of life that you and I have is eternal life. The same life as he has now, we share in that life. As eternal as he is eternal, we are brought into it by his wonderful, matchless grace to be the recipients and sharers now of eternal life. I hope I'm not standing on anybody's toes here tonight, and I wouldn't offend anyone in the least. But I have to say this to you in all honesty here tonight. I cannot understand, in the light of such a verse as this and words such as we're reading tonight, how anyone can possibly ever think that we can be saved and then lost. First of all, the positive. I give unto them, it's what we have got. Given as a gift from the Saviour that he'll never take back again. The gifts and calling of God will never be recalled. I give unto them eternal life. That's the positive. But negatively on the other side, because we've got eternal life, he says, they shall never perish. Now those that know the Greek here tonight, They will tell you that this is one of the strongest ways in which to express something that we find in the writings of John. It can be translated in different ways. It can be translated like this: they shall never, ever perish. It can be translated: they shall never perish forever. This is the kind of shepherd we have. This is the kind of salvation we have. This is the kind of security that we have got through faith in him. We have got eternal life. And the sheep, you and me tonight, can never, ever perish. Can we want more than that? No, my dear friends, I don't think that any of us would want more than that. And yet we've got more than that. Think of what this verse says. No man can pluck or seize or snatch them out of my hand. So we're in the hand of the Good Shepherd. Wonderful place to be, in the hand of the Shepherd with his eye upon us. More than that, my Father, which gave them me, we were the love gift of the Father to the Son. Do you think that God the Father would give to the Son something that the Father would know could be lost again? Oh, I don't think so. My Father, which gave as a love gift those sheep to me, he is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck or seize them out of my Father's hand. And so far as the eternal security of you and me, the sheep of his pasture, is concerned, I and my Father are one in relation to the eternal security of you and me in the hand of the Good Shepherd and in the hand of the Father. Some that are here have heard me say this before. If you take a little boy walking along the road, and someone puts into his hand these days a pound coin, and gives him a coin for him to save, perhaps, and spend when he's on his holidays. And he walks along the road, and that coin is in his hand. And he, as a little lad, might be afraid that he's going to lose that pound before he goes on his holidays to Keswick. And as he walks along with his father, he puts his hand into his father's hand and says, Father, you won't let me lose this coin, will you? And of course the father replies, no, of course not. He'll keep it safe. But let me ask you this question. Where is the pound coin now? Is it in the boy's hand? Or is it in the father's hand? Oh, you say, it's in two hands. It's in both hands. Yes, thank God. So are you and I. We're in the hand of the Son. And we're in the hand of the Father, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish forever. Well, if that's the case, dear friends, with David we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for his name's sake. Let's sing 238, please. Our shepherd is the Lord. The living Lord who died with all his fullness can afford. We are supplied. He richly feeds our souls with blessings from above and leads us where the river rolls of endless life.